All right, who likes vacation? Who likes to come back from vacation? So talk to me, what really is the meaning in your mind? You can just talk out loud for vacation. What's your purpose when you go on a vacation? Thanks. Relax. Fishing? Is that relaxing? Yeah. I like to ride motorcycles to relax, so we're all different. So here we are all dressed up. So what are we going to talk about? I want to talk about rest. So look at this. Are you rested? When you go on vacation and you do come back, is everything just better, or do you just jump right back into the same old thing? Same old thing. That's years of experience talking right there. And so here we go. We come back. We've gotten rested in a way, but let's be honest with you. How many go on vacations where you are just busy, but it's busy doing things that you want to do? I was on a cruise a while back. They have 5,000 things to do on a cruise, and so you do 5,000 things. So it's not necessarily rest, but you're breaking away from kind of the normal. Maybe it's the mundane, and you just kind of get the reset in a way. And sometimes I find myself coming back understanding, hey, thanks God for the rest, but I know I have a job to do, not just at work, but more importantly, really, it's the passion that you've put within our hearts. And so if we're at our best, if we're rested, I think we can stay focused the most on what's really important, and that is spreading the good news. Because at the end of the day, good Lord takes us home. The bank accounts stay here, the vehicles, the cars, the houses, it doesn't come with us. It's really, we get to serve the Lord in heaven, or unfortunately, if we didn't follow Christ, then we have to spend our eternity in hell. So I want to confuse you with the start of this message. Are you ready? What do you do for rest? And I bet we're all really, really different in what we do for rest. Anybody? Just say, I rest this way. Read. Biking. Now, wait a second. Stop. Read and biking. Does that make sense? Would the same person say both of those things in one sentence? Of course, you wouldn't want to read and bike. That could be dangerous, but you know. You see, we're different. We're different. Anybody else for a rest? You play? So you don't mind exercising and playing when you rest, are you? That's good. Anybody else? Video games. Joe, do you play video games? Okay. Well, listen to this a second. When I rest, when I feel my best, you know what it's doing? It's accomplishing. That's how I'm geared. A friend of mine came up to me one time. We're just talking. Hey, how'd your weekend go? Pretty good. How'd yours go? Oh, it was awesome. He says, my wife and I, from Friday night all day Saturday and most of Sunday, we actually binge-watched this series. Show after show after show. Man, we set up, we're all ready to go. So Friday we have the popcorn and we have the treats and we made something special, nachos and cheese for Saturday. We're doing, and it was just awesome. Does anyone say, yes, that's how I want to spend my weekend? Some people would. If I ask my daughter, she's in Chicago, well, she's here with us today, but she lives in Chicago. I'm like, hey, babe, did you have a good weekend? Dad, I had a great weekend. You know what she calls a great weekend? I didn't have to leave the apartment. That's a great weekend. Yesterday, I got up, played through the songs on the guitar for a while, trying to get used to that. I did a couple hours of studying, trying to put all this together. Went outside for about 4 to 5 hours and mowed and went over to the land and did some bush hogging and power washed 4 cars. Came inside, got ready. Family comes over to celebrate my son's birthday. Then the rest of our family, our sister-in-laws and their daughters, come in town. We eat. My dad and I hop in the car. We drive to Osceola to pick up my daughter because her flight got canceled last night, so she jumped on the train. We bring her back. We have dessert. I get back on the guitar because Allie's in town. We have to practice together. Then I get up at 6:30 this morning and study again and get here. And you know what I said on Saturday night? Oops, I want to fall. That was an awesome day. See, my mind, and I just want us to understand how different we are in rest. My mind needs to accomplish. So most of my rest comes in physically accomplishing something. And I feel much better about myself. Some people want to sit and watch TV. That's okay. If it's a show that's morally enhancing, that is, but you understand. See, we're so different in what rest looks like in and of ourselves, but there's one thing that we really need to have in common. You see, we were all created by God in God's image to do the work of God, to do His will. That is what we are all created for. Realize it or not, that's what you are created for. You are a being of God, created by Him, loved by His Son, Jesus Christ, so much. You are personally loved so much. He gave His very life for you. He offered an inheritance to you because He wanted to adopt you as His own as soon as you say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to be my God." I mean, that is passion. That is love. We have that in common. That is all offered to us. So we have the ability to live in Christ because that is His design. And so if we don't understand that, are you ever truly rested? Could I ever accomplish so much that my mind is just relaxed? Could some of you ever watch so many series of TV shows that you're just calm? Or sometimes no matter what you do, there's just something in you that you're just at a struggle. And so what I want to talk about is the Sabbath. So guess what today is? It's Sunday, and it's our Sabbath. Now, well, I'm going to, actually, I'll just read to you. I'm going to do some reading from the Word. I'm going to do some overhead. You'll be a part of it. Right here it says, guys, would you get me? Oops, let me turn it on. I bet it's going to work better that way. There we go. Amazing. On the seventh day, so this isn't just something that God says, hey, do it. He set the example. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation. What does that mean? How many days did He work? He's a worker. Most of us are like, 5 days, man, I am tapped out. No, but 6 days, God working, He created. And He created everything for us because we are His prize. We are His jewel. And so He created all of this for us. So on the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He rested from all His work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it what?
Holy.
I want us to get this. He declared this day holy. So it just wasn't, I'll just relax. No, this is a holy day. God blessed the seventh day, declared it holy because it was the day when He rested from all His work. Now we're in Exodus, Ten Commandments. Guess what's part of them? Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it what?
Holy.
There again, there's that word, keeping it holy. We'll talk about that in just a second. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Now in Romans 14:5, it talks about Sunday being the only Sabbath. Do you guys remember that part? No, that's not true at all. Listen to this. It says, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than the other, while others think every day is alike. Listen, you should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor Him. So this, if you're in here, really, this is probably the choice that you've made. This is your Sabbath. This is your Sunday. Does it mean that you think about God once a week? No. This is a reminder, really, of who we are and why we live life. It's so important just to come together, like-minded, and just figure out life together. Worship God together. Hey, we all have faults. If you're perfect, raise your hand. Okay? Just make sure there's no liars out there. And so we need help. We need each other. So we're fueled and directed by the Word, but we can be there for each other. So what happens when we lose that day, when we lose that reminder? I hear all the time of people who just want to live life the way they want to live it, but they want, hey, I want everything that goes with this Christianity thing. I want heaven. I want eternity. I want all that. But, hey, I'm busy. I got things going on here. I got kids in sports. I got hobbies I want to do. Wife and I like to do a certain thing on weekends. And after long days work all week long. We like to take the weekend and just go. Family that I love dearly, I watched this happen. Raise their family in church, raise their kids in church. And it was neat to see, because back then we had a softball team. So it was neat to see just what church can do. And so they brought some friends in, really, just because they were softball players. So we have the softball team, and we're pretty good back in the day. And they're coming to church. We're playing softball together. That began to build relationships within the church. And so we started hanging out together. I would, you know, we'd do suppers or lunches or just hang out. And so we built a community that started from this. And then as their children got older, in this case, it was sports, and they got them into sports, and all of a sudden they started, hey, Sundays are no longer necessarily honored. I shouldn't say necessarily, they're no longer honored. That's just the truth of the matter. And so one kid got into sports, and the other kid, and the other kid, and all of a sudden you stop seeing them here because Sundays were so full. If you talk to them, say, hey, we love God, you know, we just have these other things, but we're not gone. That was about 20 years ago. And I was watching as that fellowship not only stopped in church, it kind of stopped with the people because life got so busy, but it prioritized things of the world above this Sabbath. So from that, some relationships were lost, but the biggest thing was just a steady diet of God. And so once this stopped, some of the other practices stopped of just kind of being in the Word and applying it to your lives. And next thing you know, you see some more worldly things. Now the kids are being raised more of the world than of church. And that's just, it's just an ugly picture of what Satan wants to do if we don't honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So to understand, this is such a cool verse. It's Mark 2, but let me read right before. Mark 2, I'm going to start at verse 23. I want us to understand the power of the Sabbath. It says, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain. But the Pharisees, now these are the teachers of the law, these are the pastors of the day. The Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? You see what happens? Sometimes when we think of Sabbath, we get all legalistic, and it can actually turn people off. Wait a second, I can't do anything. I mean, these guys, listen to me, they're walking with Jesus. They probably just got back from watching him heal someone. I mean, they are with the man doing the work of God. And what did the Pharisees point out? Wait a second, as you walk through, you clipped off a thing of wheat and started snacking on it. That's harvesting. Harvesting is work. You're breaking the law of God. Is that why God created the Sabbath? No. Not even close. The Sabbath is meant to draw us closer to him, to draw us closer to each other, to really get through or to work through and just enjoy the blessing of what this life is. It wasn't created to say, now wait a second, you're doing it all wrong. That was just work. And so it goes on to say, haven't you ever read the scriptures, what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went to the house of God during the days of Abiathar, when he was high priest, broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Jesus said, this is what I want us to get. He said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. And this is what I want us to understand right here. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I what? What's the Sabbath meant to do? It's to meet the needs. How are our needs going to be met? It's staying close in relationship to God. He will supply our needs. If we begin to supply our own needs, we'll realize that we are constantly in want because we don't have what it takes. We're going to satisfy desires that come and go, kind of like the crashing waves. And so the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me what? He lets me rest. If I am at peace in who I am, if I'm using my life, and that doesn't mean that you have to go out there, man, save the world and just work yourself to death. Sometimes that works against you. But if I am at peace of who I am in the Lord and where he's put me in life, and people are aware that I am loving, I am kind, I show the attributes of Christ, that my life is giving opportunity for people to see truth, not be torn down, not be gossiped to, not be hated, but they're seeing the fruit of the Spirit through me. That's what life's all about. And so that rest comes through the Lord. Without that rest, without this day of reminder, I'm telling you, we spend too much time resting. Matter of fact, I hear it a lot. Man, I was so shot from work. I just took the whole weekend and just rested to get ready for work. Now, if we rest from God, if we rest from the truth, if we rest from his word, what are we getting prepared for on Monday? Are we ready to go mentally, spiritually, and just understand, hey, God, I'm not just here, in my case, to turn a wrench. I am here to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need your patience. I need your goodness, dear God. I need your love because you know what's going on. I can't do this on my own. I need you. That Sabbath provides us the reminder of why we do this because it prepares us for the people who need it the most. And if we walk in the workplace physically rested, but emotionally and spiritually unprepared, what good are we doing? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. Then Jesus said, Matthew 11:38, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. You see, Christ, well, he did the ultimate. He paved the path to God. He bridged that gap through his death and through his resurrection. We have life through Christ if we only just accept it. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that God raised you from the dead. I'm justified through my belief in my heart and my confession of the mouth. That's what it is. And that comes from a closeness with God. So I'm telling you, every time you guys go into work on a Monday and you're shot, that's okay. Spiritually be prepared. One thing I've done for several years is as I drive in, I have a prayer time that is specific to my workplace right before I get there. So I pray for family and you guys and all, but I pray specifically for my workplace before I get there. And I just always say, God, remind me of why I'm here. Yes, machines need to run. If you're new to me, I work at AE Dairy. Milk needs to get out. Juices need to get out. There's all that stuff. And I want to work hard, and I want to make people proud there. But more than I can do, it's so much more important for us to just exude the presence of Christ than to do great work. One will enhance the other, I guarantee you. It just will. So listen to this. Well, that was it. Because the next thing is right here. I was told to be very careful with this book. My wife really likes this book. And so she knew what I was talking about. She was doing her devotions. And so she keeps, I'm at work and my Like three days in a row, my phone's ding, ding. She has read like three different things about rest. She goes, this is so crazy because I know what you're doing your sermon on. And I want to read this to you. This is out of Prevail, Susie Larson's devotional book. And man, the way she puts it. Are you listening? Just a paragraph, so stay with me. Messages often get lost in translation when we misunderstand or don't fully know the messenger. Yes, the call to honor the Sabbath was a law, but God instituted it as a gift to a people who possess very real limits. I'm going to back up. I want you to catch this. Yes, the call to honor the Sabbath is a law, or was a law, but God instituted it as a gift to a people who possessed very real limits. People who needed regular reminders that the world was not on their shoulders. Yet what did the religious zealots do with this law? They used it to parade their holiness for all to see and to absolve themselves from helping someone in need because their rigid religion forbade it. God has called us to help one another. That's why this Sabbath is so important. These relationships are so important. Hanging out outside of this place is important. Being there for each other. And yet, these religious guys, well, I can't do that because I'll be breaking the law. You realize when Jesus healed a man at the pool of Bethesda and said, pick up your mat and walk. Absolute miracle of God. People had seen him there for years, knew that he was crippled. He walks. What did the religious teachers say? That is an act of labor. Pardon me, did we miss something really cool here? The dude just walked. Absolute miracle of God, that the power of God went through and reconstructed his bones and gave him strength and put the marrow where it needed to go, and he got up and he walked. And you're so worried about a law? You misunderstand what the Sabbath is even about. Yeah. It's about people understanding the truth and receiving the love, the miracles, the acts of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus came. He offered the rest to the weary, understanding to the disillusioned, and compassion to the weak. He restored the Sabbath to its rightful place. We still need the Sabbath. Our hearts need mending, our souls need healing, and our bodies need rest. Even more so, we need regular reminders that God carries the weight of the world so we don't have to. Amen. So I'm telling you, some of you have been through so many things that I have not, and vice versa. And I picture life without knowing that God's there. I don't know how people do it. Not to be morbid, but there's times in my life I might have been a suicide victim because it's not worth it. But I know that there's a hope. I know this word is full of truth. And I know he has a passion for us, and he guides and directs us. So even more so, we need regular reminders that God carries the weight of the world so we don't have to. God created us for fellowship with him. We are our best selves when our hearts learn to rest in his provision and rely on his love. Amen. That is good. We are our best selves when our hearts lean or learn to rest in his provision and rely on his love. So, Father, I pray right now over each and every one of us. As we understand, rest looks different to us. Maybe a vacation has a different meaning. Some of us need this physical rest. Some of us need the mental. Some of us need emotional. We all need pieces of it. And so I don't think there's any rule book or doctor that could say this is how you rest, because we all rest differently. But we all need you. We all need to understand that you are in control, that you give us peace, that regardless of what the world's doing, even if Satan is having a heyday at our expense, he has no power over you. You are the one true God, and we are your one true love. And so you have prepared a place for us. You sent your son for us. Everything you've done in this word was in preparation for us because we are your love. So, Father, may we feel that love. May we rest in you. May we never forsake the gathering. May we prioritize our lives and understand that, yes, there are things that need to be done and family things that need to be put into place, and there's fun and sports and all these different things, but God, let's not prioritize those things above you. Let's raise our families and show each other that God is the most important thing that we could ever, the most important priority we could ever have in our lives. And let's get those other things in, but around it. Let's not replace it. So, Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray for everyone listening. May we just take a look at our Sabbath. How are we spending it? Are we honoring you with it? Are we building relationships with those around, dear God? Are we allowing this to just create a community within our lives? Father, are we prioritizing this as just a reminder as why we are why we're here, why we're even born, why we exist? We have been called to this place to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we ignore the Sabbath, that kind of flitters right out the window. Keep us focused on the real thing, dear God. Jesus, thank you for your passion for us. May we live it out and show people what real love looks like, what real joy and what real forgiveness can be, even in sometimes what is a muck and mire of this world. So bless our hearts, dear God. May we apply this in so many ways. And I just pray over each and every person now. May your Holy Spirit rest on them, direct them. We're all in different places, work in different places, around different people, different families. You have called us to one purpose. May we love you with our lives and prioritize you and your day as we go through our weeks. We pray this in your name. And everyone says, amen.